Glory to God. Thank you for finding the sound you were looking for and he was showing you tonight. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is following the Holy Spirit. Amen. Praise the Lord. This is what we're all about, aren't we? Glory to God. This is life in the Spirit. We don't do anything without him. We have plans. He gives us plans. He gives us beginnings and starts and things, but everything with him, Jesus said, I only say what I hear my Father say. I only do what I see my Father do. Amen. That's what we need to use our faith for. That's what our faith is for, is to live like him, do like him, live life like him. Amen. To strive for the mastery of a relationship with God where we only do what he does and we only say what he says. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Jesus proved it's possible. Amen. I said Jesus proved it's possible. Hallelujah. To only say. The restraint, the constraint that he used to live on this earth. Amen. And you can say, yeah, but he was without sin. Well, he came without the sin nature, but the Bible also said he conquered sin. Yeah. When he was tempted in the wilderness, he had the opportunity to sin. Else it would not be a temptation. Amen. It would not have been a temptation if there wasn't the possibility of failing. But he conquered it. Glory to God, because he didn't give in to impressing the devil. He didn't give in to any of the temptations that were offered to him. He just said, I'm only going to do everything I do motivated solely by my Father. No self. And his whole ministry, he just kept saying, it's not me, it's him. 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 Amen. Praise the Lord. And if you were here last night, hopefully you got a little bit of that, you know, kicked out of you. Amen. In a good way. Praise the Lord. Did anybody enjoy that scolding last night like I did? There's nothing like being scolded with a smile and a happy and a, boy, I just want to do better. Praise the Lord. I know you didn't mean to scold, but I got scolded anyway. But praise the Lord. I heard from heaven last night. How about you? Amen. All day yesterday, we heard from heaven. This morning, we heard from heaven. Glory to God. And it's just Monday night, and I'm feeling like we've already been here a week. I've just been so blessed and richly, richly blessed by every word that has been spoken, by every demonstration so far of the Spirit of God. You've witnessed already a demonstration this evening. Yes. Praise the Lord, of just following him. Yeah. Just following him. Amen. Not just powering through something, but following and finding his way. Moses said, Lord, I want to know your ways. I want to know your ways. Hallelujah. I want to know his ways. I want to know his ways. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And so we're just so blessed to have Robin here and the whole team here joining us. Thank you for coming, everybody, and thank you so much for offering your supply of the Spirit. It's a tremendous blessing. Amen. Praise God. And I will say that Reverend Robin has a new CD on her table that she didn't have the last time we were here, and please get it. We listen to her music, both her vocal and her instrumental things, all the time, and we just find it such, because that it's that sound that inspires, you know. And I will never forget something she said to us one time. She said, a song can never take you to a place unless it came from a place. A song can't take you to a place unless it came from a place. Amen. And her songs came from a place. And I know the place it came from. Glory to God. Amen. It's home to us. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So we're really blessed. Everybody's got some materials out there, unless the Hakadays have already sold out of everything. Praise the Lord. Yeah, they're sold out. They're the, you know, rock stars. But anyway, praise God. They only brought 20 books because the last place they sold out of everything. But praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Pastor Jack and Marilyn, glad to see you tonight. Thank you for being here. Praise the Lord. Pastor Doug Mitchell is here as well with his daughter Abigail. Praise the Lord. Any other pastors here that I don't know, maybe I haven't recognized, but oh, I'm sorry. Please tell me again. Pastor Archie and Deborah, oh, thank you for being here. Praise God. God bless you. We're blessed when pastors come. Amen, especially. Praise the Lord. And we're honored that you're here. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. We had dinner the other night, and Miss Robin and Pastor Ed and Kevin and myself had a bite to eat, and we were just chatting about some things, and Robin had just come from Billy Brim's Autumn Assembly, and so we were asking her about the meetings there and how they went and what was being said, you know. And she mentioned, and she just sung this verse tonight, "Arise, shine, for your light has come." Amen. Go with me to Isaiah, the 60th chapter, in the first verse. And so while we were at dinner, she was mentioning this verse and saying some things that Miss Billy Brim said about it. And but it went off in me, and I couldn't tell you what Billy said about it, but it went off in me because God's been dealing with me about some things. And so let's start here. Praise the Lord. Isaiah, the 60th chapter and the first verse. It says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you." Glory to God. The first word there is arise. Yes. That's your part. I said, that's your part. God is telling us to arise. God's telling us, get up, come up. Take your place. Arise. Don't sit there and wait for something to happen. Get up. Amen. Arise. Shine. For your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen on you. In other words, you are never alone. You are not on your own. It's not like you've just got some big assignment that you have to fulfill all by yourself. It's the glory of God. Hallelujah, that we're coming up into His glory. His glory then rests on us, and everything we do with Him. Amen. Hallelujah. The glory of the Lord. Amen. He said, arise, shine. Shine means to be or become light. That's your responsibility, to be or become light. Amen. Things are getting darker. Amen. But there are a people. There is a people. There are a people. There are people. There is a people. Amen. That God has chosen. And we're it. It's the church. It's the church. Amen. And the world has governments. The world has elected officials, right? But God doesn't have that. He has a kingdom. He has a kingdom. Nobody's elected. Everybody serves. Everybody serves. There's a kingdom. He's the king. We serve. We serve. Everybody say, we serve. And we serve in a kingdom. Amen. Yes. Glory to God. Hallelujah. What an honor. Yes. What an honor to serve in a kingdom. The government is on His shoulders. His shoulders. Amen. And people can complain all they want about agendas and things going on behind the scenes, but they've got nothing on what we've got going on behind the scenes. Amen. What's really going on behind the scenes is the glory of the Lord. The glory of the Lord in these last days is covering the earth like the waters cover the sea. Amen. Hallelujah. I heard somebody talking about the ocean recently, and they said, have you ever just looked at the ocean? It looks so vast. And he goes, and that's just the top of it. Yeah. That's just, you can only see the top of it. and it's already amazing. But the depths. And so the glory of the Lord, like the waters, cover the sea. The vastness and the depth of the glory of God, he's inviting us to arise into it. Right. To take our place, our rightful place. Be light. Be light. Amen. He said, arise, shine, for the light has come, and the glory. I like this. I like to look up words. Just briefly, I'm going to show you a couple of things. The glory here means weight. Weight. You know, in the New Testament, Paul says, you know, I consider that these light afflictions really are nothing compared to the eternal weight of glory. The weight of glory. Glory has a weight to it. I'm sure some of you have experienced it. I know I have. Times when the glory of God is manifested in a place and you just feel, just glued to your seat or to the floor, or you just feel the weightiness, because it is. It's heavy in a good way. Heavy in a good way. It means weight. It means abundance. Glory means abundance, and it means riches. The glory of the Lord has risen on you. Riches, honor, dignity. The glory of the Lord, it's his glory on you. So it's his weight, his abundance, his riches, his dignity, his honor on you. Amen. What if you really took your place? None of this second class invisibility. We just got to be quiet. Nobody ruffle any feathers or anything. No, we're to be a light. A light. And to serve in this kingdom, all of this is available. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. He said, the glory of the Lord is risen. So arise. Get up. Rise up. Moses, and when Moses had his encounters with the Lord, one of my favorite times is when the Lord talked to Moses and he said this in Exodus, the 24th chapter. He says, come up to the mount and be there. That's two separate things. Come up to the mount and be there. That's like Brother Jim talking last night about the difference of hearing and listening. Don't just be there, but be there. You know, we've all experienced it when we're with somebody, but they're not really there. Anybody married? Anybody married? If you're married, you've experienced this amazing phenomenon that you can be in the same room with somebody and they're not there. Get distracted. It's just distraction. I said, it's distraction. So the Lord said to Moses, come up to, imagine that he had to tell Moses, don't just come there, but be there. Like when you're in the presence of the Lord, there'd be anything else you'd have on your mind. But we do. And that's what was so eloquently and matchlessly said last night by the Holy Ghost through Brother Jim. You know, if you're going to have more of this, something else has to go. Got to get detached from the other things. To be more aware of him. I was praying one day about even just giving an altar call at a service, and I was just praying about the souls that might be there. And I said to the Lord, you know, I was praying for people, and he said, you know, a lot of times we give altar calls and we say, have you accepted the Lord into your life? Have you accepted Jesus? Have you accepted him into your heart? He says, I know what people mean by that. And it's certainly true. He said, but what I'd really like them to know is that I've accepted them into my life. that I've accepted them into my life. Because too many times when people receive Jesus, they just add him on top of their old life. They don't realize the purpose is absolute transformation and exchange, that our old life is actually dead. We've been crucified with Christ. Amen. We don't just add him on top of all our other junk. And this is the problem with a lot of believers, is we just keep adding other things in. And doesn't it say that the other things entering in, we said it last night, choke the word and it becomes unfruitful. It was fruitful, but it became unfruitful. How did it become unfruitful? We let other things enter in. So he said, arise, shine, for your light has come. He said, Moses, come up to the mountain, be there. You remember his original intent for the children of Israel was for him to be personally present with them, to speak to them. And when he was there with the glory of God on that mountain, they couldn't take it. They said, it was a good idea at first, but it's kind of scary. So Moses, why don't you just be our representative? You go talk to him and then just tell us what he said. But that's not what God had in mind. God wanted to speak to everybody all at one time. And they're like, wait, it's just too holy. It's too awesome. We can't do that and be us. And so when Moses would go into the presence of the Lord, remember what happened, you know, his face would shine when he came back. Yeah. Just the radiance of the glory, right, got on him. And he became light. That's what happens when you get in the presence. The light shines out of you. Amen. That's his purpose. Come up, be there. Praise the Lord. And so Moses, you know, another time he went up and the Lord, Moses said, Lord, show me your glory. The 33rd chapter of Exodus, show me your glory. That I will know that you're with us. I mean, he's like, Lord, what separates us from everybody on the earth is you. What separates us from everybody on the earth is you, is your presence. Your presence. Your presence. Your presence. Hallelujah. Don't you want his presence? To know the difference, to be separated in that way. You know, when Moses put that covering over his face, you all know this, it wasn't to, you know, to shield them from the glory as much as it was to so that they wouldn't see when it faded. Because it eventually wears off. And so we wore that so they wouldn't know when it was gone. And there's a lot of people that know when they're in, but they don't know when they're out. They don't realize things have faded. They've got memories of times in his presence. They've built their altars and they've got their space and their times and their aha moments and their, I remember when it was like this and I remember when it was like that. How about when they rebuilt the temple and they said, this isn't anything compared to what it was before. And we all have our times of looking back and our nostalgia and the really good times and the powerful times we had, but do we know how to get in again? Or do we just think those things just happen as they happen? As if the Holy Spirit is the iffy part of God. The Holy Spirit, you know, well, it's as he wills. And so, you know, you're just kind of, You never know. Like he's the optional third person of the Godhead. But he's the absolute manifester of all good things in God. Amen. I said he's the manifester of all things in God. He manifests. He is that manifested presence, and we ought to be seeking the manifested presence of the Lord. Arise. Shine, for your light has come. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. I had an encounter with the Lord. Many of you know part of my testimony. And I had an encounter with God when shortly after we left Brother Hagin's ministry, and we were in our own ministry, and he was having his Holy Ghost meetings, and we were in a town and went to the meetings, and some other ministers were there, and so we just decided to come and pray together. Because when we get with our friends, you know, we don't want to just hang out and have meals. We like to pray together, and we like to get in the presence of the Lord together, you know. And so we said, well, let's go pray. And so we gathered together before one of the evening services of Brother Hagin's meetings, and the five of us were in the room, Kevin and myself and three other ministers, and we were in this room praying. And we were praying like they did in the book of Acts, when the Lord stretch forth your hand to heal. The signs and wonders will be done by the name of your holy child, Jesus. Grant unto your servants that with all boldness we may speak your word. And so we were just praying along those lines, because Brother Hagin was praying along those lines at that time, and we were just kind of hooking up with that and weren't praying for ourselves. We were just praying for the body of Christ. And while we were praying, all of a sudden I felt like I was going up. I was leaving my body. And I saw us praying down here. And being the control freak that I often am, which I got scolded for last night. And yet God called me. Praise the Lord. But you know, I like being in control. I like knowing what's going on. I like having my wits about me. Part of it was equipment in order to help Brother Hagin all those years that we helped him. We had to be able to do things and not just lay out on the floor when the glory came. We had to stand up under it. We had to do business under it. We had to work. We had to do things. Amen. And so part of that is building up almost a tolerance for the weightiness of the glory, that you have to be able to stand up under it, prophesy or pray or catch people or do music or whatever it was. So we learned how to build up something where you could stand up under that. But at the same time, there's still a yielding, right? And there's still that opportunity when the Lord says to do something that you let go of what you know. What you're already accustomed to. Moses got in trouble, right, for not speaking to the rock because he was so used to the rod he had in his hand. The rod was a supernatural tool that God used for so long. But then God said, do it this way this time. And he's like, I'm not comfortable with that. I know this. I know this. And we're coming into some days. Come on. We're coming into some days that we've got to go, even though this has been supernatural all this time, if he says do it a different way, we let go of what we know. Because what we know, we're in control of. And if we're in control, he is not so much in control. Because remember, we serve a kingdom. And when he speaks, our endeavor and our to use our faith to step out in faith is to do what he says do and say what he says say. That's a relationship with God. Amen. Don't we want a move of God? Yes. Amen. I don't think I even have to ask that question. But he's going to move through people. He doesn't do it independent of his church, independent of his body. We're his body. Amen. So he needs people who will step out by faith and not use your faith just for the stuff you want in your life.
Amen.
Amen. If using our faith is merely for the stuff we can accumulate, oh my, then we're building our own kingdom. Using faith to build our own kingdom. It's not our kingdom. Now he said, if you seek first the kingdom, then all the things will be added to you. Don't seek the things first and then go, well, when I get this and when I get this, then I'll really serve God. You got it backwards. Amen. And we want to be used. Do you want to be used in the miraculous? How many of you have ever laid hands on another person and saw them get well? Let me see your hand. Is it not the best thing in the world? Is it not the best thing in the world? There's nothing like it. There's nothing like it. It's the most thrilling and humbling thing in the world. Glory to God. Amen. I remember just a few years ago, we were with Pastor Jack and Marilyn over at their church, and we were having a healing service over there, and there was a woman, wasn't it a woman that had was blind in one eye? And Robin was there, and Pastor Doug Mitchell was there. And we went to minister. Pastor Ed, you were there? Were the cars there too? Yeah. So here, the family's all there. And so we went to go back to minister to this person, and Pastor Doug had just been healed in his eye of that injury that he had, his brain injury that he had, and there was complications with his eye, and he had just been healed. And so I said, Pastor Doug, come on, and let's go minister to this lady. And we went and laid our hands on her. Well, you laid your hands on her, and she came seeing. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Well, there's just nothing like that. Nothing like that. Because you're like, I have hands, but without him, there's no power in them. But there's a lot going on there. There's yielding to the voice of the Holy Spirit to do it, than to actually take the steps over to the person. You know, call Pastor Doug over to help me out. You know, all these elements involved is just cooperating with the Spirit of God. But if you hesitate and go, well, I've never done that before, or you try to water it down and try to, you know, make it easier on yourself in case you, you know, can give yourself an out. Oh, it's so easy to give yourself an out. Yeah. But that's not real faith. Okay. I was in a service recently, and you know, it takes faith to do what we do. Hello. Amen. All of us. Every one of us. And I was in a service recently, and I got this word on the inside of me, 58%. That's what I got, 58%. And I'm thinking, what in the world does that mean? What does that relate to? And I said, so somebody's going to have to help me out here because I've got a number in my heart, 58%. I don't know if that's oxygen. I don't know if that's heart rate. I don't know if that's blood. I don't know what that is. If it's a blockage, what is it? Who is that mean something to, 58%? This man lifts his hand and he said, I had bypass surgery, and I still have a 58% blockage in one artery. Amen. You know, when Jesus said to the crowd, when the woman with the issue of blood came, when Jesus said, "Who touched my clothes?" That only meant something to one person. Everybody thinks it means, you know, his disciples said, well, everybody's touching you. How can you, what do you mean? But one person in that crowd had said, if I can touch his clothes, if I can touch his clothes, I'll be well. So when he said, who touched my clothes, she's going, that's me. That's me. something so seemingly general, but so very specific. I only say what I hear my Father say. I only do what I hear my Father do. Are we quiet enough and let go of all that other stuff enough to hear that voice clearly? This morning we heard about hearing from God audibly by your spirit. Amen. Your spirit knows him. Your spirit hears him. Your spirit has the same five senses your body has. Taste, touch, smell, sight, hearing. All of that your spirit can get. You can smell in the presence of the Lord, in the spirit. You can smell things. I've smelled the glory. I've smelled death. Smelled different things, that it wasn't in the room, it was in the spirit. Heard things, seen things, felt things. We were in a service one time, and Kevin and myself and Shekinah Glory, y'all are familiar with Shekinah Glory? Shekinah Glory and Kevin and me and Jim were at a meeting in Wisconsin years ago. It was an 11-day revival. That pastor was brave to have all of us there for 11 days. And so we were getting together to pray before one of the services. And so, as often we do, you know, we just joined hands to pray. And I had Kevin on one side and Brother Jim on the other side. And while we're praying, it's just a simple prayer, just us kind of just getting together before the service, you know, simple prayer. And all of a sudden something went in my hand from Jim. And we got done praying and I looked at him kind of like, I just looked at him, I go, did you do that on purpose? And he goes, yeah. What he did was he released the anointing into my hand. And I felt it, and he said, I just wanted to see if you'd feel it. I thought, I'm glad I did. But so aware, you see. So aware of even the tangibility of God. I'm familiar with him. So that even just holding Jim's hand on one side and Kevin's hand on the other side, that wasn't Jim doing it. It was the one I'm familiar with. I know him. And it was him going into me. He said, I just wanted to see if you'd recognize it. Well, I did. But I kind of got a kick out of it too, you know. So he's just kind of being sneaky. But you see, we're aware of and should be aware. And the less of the world you're aware of, the more of him. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. So there I was in this hotel room, the five of us there praying. And again, many of you know my testimony. And I started to go up. And I'm thinking to myself, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And I'm thinking to be absent from the body also means dead. At that time, that was about where I was, and I just thought, well, if does this mean I'm bye-bye, goodbye world, goodbye? And I didn't know what was happening, and I saw us, and so my mind, my soul kind of went, no, I've got to get back in control. And I kind of came back to myself, and when I did, the power of God was on me in such a tangible way that I couldn't stand up, so I just went against the wall. And I just slid down the wall and sat on the floor. By this time, the other folks in the room realized something was happening and they stopped praying. And so the power of God hit in my hands first. Now, again, I've been aware of the tangibility of the healing power of God. When we ministered with Brother Hagin's ministry, you know, probably everybody in here knows his testimony. And how he was in 1950 in Rockwall, Texas, where the Sosbys are pastoring Momentum Church in Rockwall, Texas. In Rockwall, Texas in 1950, he had a tent meeting, and he heard a voice saying, come up hither, come up to the throne of God. And when he looked up to see where the voice was coming from, at the top of where the top of the tent should be, he saw Jesus. And he was all of a sudden caught up like that and went to heaven. Many things transpired, big conversation transpired, but the main thing was that Jesus called and said, I've called you and I've given to you a special anointing to minister to the sick. And he took the finger of his right hand, put it in the palm of each one of his hands. Brother Hagin would testify that when he did, it was like he was feeling coals of fire in his hands. And every time he told his testimony, because Jesus said this anointing will not work unless you tell it, every time he told his testimony, his hands would burn just like the first time. And so every time he told his testimony, his hands would burn and he would minister to the people. Well, oftentimes he would, because of the so many people, he'd get tired. He said the anointing would settle in his legs. He couldn't stand up very much longer, so he needed help. And other times he just wanted to demonstrate, the Lord wanted to demonstrate that God didn't just use him, he uses other people. And so very often he would use different ones of us in the meetings. And the first time he did with me, I watched him, you know, with other people, different ones of the group. He put his hands in their hands and he said, now take this anointing to them. And they'd act just like he did. You know, they'd act just like he did. They'd lay hands on people and they'd go, that's it, there it is. That's it, there it is. He'd often say it, that's it, there it is. Meaning he could tell when the anointing went out of his hands and into them, the tangibility. He could feel it going out of him and into them. And now here's members of our team, and they're doing the same thing. And I'm thinking, how do they know that's it? There it is. Are they just saying that, or can they tell, you know? And I'm just intrigued by this because I'm up on the platform singing healing songs while they're doing this. And so I'm watching this. I'm just fascinated by it. And then one day, Brother Hagin said, Annie, come down here. And I'm like, here we go. And he said, put your hands out like that. So I did. And then he put his hands on my hands. And he said, do you feel that? And I went, uh-huh. Something went into my hands. I didn't expect to feel it. I didn't. I wanted to, but I didn't expect it. I didn't expect it. I didn't know what it would be like. And I felt a heat go into my hands. And he said, now take that and go minister to the sick. So I'm like, you know, they don't know this is my first time. I get down, the first person, something went out of my hands and into them. I went, that's it. There it is. Like a boss. Next person, same thing. Went out of my hands and into them. Ministered, I don't know, probably a couple of hundred people at least. And after the service, I'm like, that was not me. It was amazing that God would use me. Oh, the thrill of people being ministered to just because somebody did what he said to do. Oh, amazing. So over the years, he did that a lot. Myself and Brother Jim, others. And after a while, when he would tell his testimony, my hands would start to burn. And he didn't have to put his hands in my hands anymore. Every time he told his testimony, my hands would burn. And so just by association then, that anointing started residing. So he would tell his testimony, my hands would burn, and then after a while he'd go, Annie, is that anointing on you? I'd say, yes, sir. He goes, go lay hands on those people. So we'd do that. So I became accustomed to that tangibility. So we're in this room. I came back to myself, and now this power is in my hands, but now it's not just heat. Now it's like electricity. And it started in my fingertips and went all the way up to my shoulders, and it's more like I was holding a live wire. And if you've ever come in contact with electricity in that way, it's more like it's got you than you've got it. Like you can't let go. And it was really, really intense. Painful intense. And I grabbed Kevin's hand and I said, please tell me you can feel this. It was so tangible. And he said, I'm sorry, I don't feel what you're feeling. And then the other minister, and I grabbed his hand and I said, please tell me you can feel this. He's like, I can't, but we'll help you pray this out, whatever this is. And so we joined hands and we prayed, and it helped dissipate that off of me. And so while we were praying, this is what the Holy Spirit said to me. He said, up till now, you've been operating with an anointing you received by association with Brother Hagin. He said, but this one's yours. But now listen to what he said. He said, I endeavored for you to come up to receive it, but you wouldn't come. He said, you wouldn't come. So you got it in your flesh, and that's why it was so intense. Listen to this. He said, it would have been easier for you if you had come. He said, it would have been easier for you if you had come. Easier. To me, that wasn't easy. To me, that was unknown. I don't know. That doesn't look easy at all. This is strange. This is uncomfortable. I'd like to be in control now. He said it would have been easier. Arise, shine, for your light has come. Arise, come up. Come up. I was praying recently just even about ministering healing these days, and because we've gotten into some places where it's a large congregations, and we... to minister to everybody by the laying on of hands just isn't feasible. And I'm asking the Lord about it. I'm like, Lord, how can we make this easier? Easier. And this is what he said. He said, do you remember what I said to you when you received your healing anointing? I said, yeah, I remember what you said. You said it would have been easier if I came up. He goes, everything's easier if you come up. He said, everything's easier if you come up. Do you hear what he said? Everything. Everything's easier if you come up. Well, how do you come up? Well, up in one sense, but in another sense. Because if you think up like it's away from you, it's not that. It's in. But it's up. It's taken your place, amen, in him. But it's up. He said everything's easier if you come up. Go with me to Mark's Gospel, the 9th chapter. Mark chapter 9. Hallelujah. Help us, Lord. He's given us an invitation. Amen. Mark chapter 9. I've been so blessed by this. Brother Jim's brought this out many times in meetings we've been in. Mark chapter 9 and verse 2. Now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John and led them up on a high mountain apart by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. His clothes became, what? Shining. His clothes became shining. Exceedingly white, like snow such as no launderer on earth can whiten them. Jesus went up to pray. This is the only time he took anybody with him. It's what I love. Brother Jim's brought this out so many times, and it's just, stuck with me. It's the only time he took anybody with him. Who's to say this didn't happen every time he prayed? Because he came up. He came up and was transfigured, shining. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen on you. Risen on you. Amen. But if we're so weighted down with what we know, what we've experienced, what we've already had, the distractions, the things we're trying to get, I need my healing, Lord. I need healing. Can you bring it down here? No. Why don't you come up? Why don't you come up? In Exodus, in the 33rd chapter that we talked about, where Moses said, Lord, show me your glory. The Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and you shall stand upon a rock, and all my goodness will pass before you. Moses said, I want you to show me your glory. And God said, come over here and stand where I am. If you want to see what I've got, come over here. Don't try to bring him back down. He's already been down. He went back up, and so did you. So did you. So when Jesus prayed and was radiating and shining, and it was so bright, who's to say that didn't happen every time he prayed? I truly believe it did. That's why he always went by himself. Because probably like the children of Israel, they couldn't handle it. And Peter didn't know what to say. It's really good that we're here. Can we build you a house? Awkward. This is amazing. And we just want to fill it up with stuff. Instead of just be there. Be there. Transfigured. In his presence. If he said, I only say what I hear my Father say, and I only do what I see my Father do, when did he hear it and when did he see it? He came up. He came up. Everything's easier when you come up. Oh, Lord, I need healing. I just need this to happen. I need this to happen. I need this to happen. And here's that control thing happening again. You've Googled so much. What you think you need when it comes to your own body, when it comes to your healing, all this knowledge involved, and people started off by going, well, I just need to know this so I know how to pray. You don't need any of that to know how to pray. You're not led by Google. The Bible says when you don't know what to pray for, it doesn't say Google. When you don't know what to pray for as you ought, what are you supposed to do? Lastom, remele, kashtam, come up. Come up. Googling's going down. It's the wrong direction. It fills your mind and your soul with all the opposition. It fills it with all the distractions. And you think, well, I just need to know what my numbers need to be so I can tell the Lord what I need. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Yeah, be specific, but don't research it to be specific. Because it's not helping you. It is not helping you. It takes people right out, because then they'll come to services and we come to lay hands on people and we'll ask them what you came for, and they'll rattle off all their numbers. Well, I need my oxygen to be here, and I need my blood sugar to be here, and I need this, and I need this, and this is all the stuff that I need all this. And really what they're saying is, this is what the doctors say, but I just don't want to go to them. But I don't really want to pay for it. So it's kind of a money thing more than it is even a health thing a lot of times. Is this okay? Come up. Come up. Yeah, but what if I miss something? What if I don't know something? Mm-hmm. Yeah. What if you don't? What if you let go? What if he didn't care? What if he didn't care? What if he just came up in the glory and you're just, it's easier if you come up. Yeah, but I don't know that place. Yeah, get used to it. Detach yourself from the other. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory. Go with me to Ephesians, the first chapter. Ephesians chapter 1. Hallelujah. Paul was praying for us. Verse 16, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come, and has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all, and you. Chapter 2, verse 1. And you, same thought. All of this power that he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Paul's saying, I want you to understand, I get an understanding of the power of God that's available to you, the power of God that is for you, that you would have an understanding, your eyes would be open to see what he sees. That when he raised up Jesus, that all that power that went to raise Jesus from the dead, there was more power available in this very act here of raising Jesus from the dead than any other individual that God had raised from the dead. Didn't need all that power to raise Jairus' daughter. Didn't need all that power to raise somebody that the prophet, you know, where they fell on the prophet's bones in the grave. Didn't need all that power for that. Didn't need all that power for Lazarus. Didn't need all that power, but he needed all that power to raise Jesus from the dead, because he didn't just raise a physical man. He raised up the entire body. The entire body and you. And you. And you. And you. Has he quickened and made alive and made us sit together in church? Made us sit together in church. Heavenly places. When? Now. Not later. Now. You are currently seated in heavenly places. And yet our awareness is, oh, I need something down here. I need to get it down here. We're just going about it all wrong. Yeah, I need money down here. Well, come on up and get it. Come on up. Come on up. God's got ways of doing things. He's got kingdom ways of doing things. But you're going to have to let go of the control. Amen. We had a man came to us in a meeting years and years ago. And he was a very wealthy man, and he was really drawn to Kevin and his ministry, and it actually came up to Kevin and said, "Lord told me that you're my spiritual father." I mean, it was just like, boom, it really hit him. And he said, he came from another country, and he had all this currency in his wallet, and he says, I don't even know what I can do right now, but I can give you what I got. And he took out all his U.S. currency that he had in his wallet, and he gave it to Kevin. He says, there's more where that came from. And he says, as a matter of fact, the Lord's showing me, and I mean, he had already like prophesied to some people and had been flowing in the Holy Ghost himself. And he said, as a matter of fact, the Lord told me that I'm supposed to begin to support your ministry. And we're like, okay, well, praise the Lord, you know. So we got together the next day. Kevin says, well, if you feel like the Lord's told you to support our ministry, let us tell you what we're about and what we're doing. And so we told him a little bit, and tears were coming down his face as we were talking about our ministry. And he said, a ministry like this should never be underfunded. And it really touched his heart. And he said, I believe what the Lord's telling me to do, he said, is to support your ministry. He said, if your salary was taken care of, would the rest of the money coming into your ministry fund the things that you're doing? We said, well, of course it would. Yeah, yeah. And he said, well, what I'm going to do then is I'm going to send you $100,000 a year for the next 5 years. And so he says, that's what I'm going to do. And shook hands and all that stuff. And, you know, then that was like, wow. And he left and went off in his limousine and left. And we're like, did we hear that right? $100,000. Well, that could come in handy. We could do some things with that, you know. And we started getting excited about it. And we started getting really happy about it, you know. And because of that, you know, what he said, we started taking some limits off of other things, you know, in our lives, and just kind of started seeing bigger and dreaming bigger and all this kind of stuff. And then the Lord started adding other partners to our ministry. And there was like a flood of other partners coming in and all this. And without us soliciting anything, it was just like all this abundance was coming to us. And even at that time, we were having all this abundance, and he hadn't sent us anything yet. And then he didn't send us anything again. And then several months later, there still wasn't anything. There wasn't anything for a very long time, ever. As a matter of fact, ever. And we were prospering. We were prospering, and God was taking such good care of us. It was amazing. I mean, we were on cloud nine, and the Lord said, you're pretty happy, aren't you? And we're like, oh, yeah, we're real happy. And he said, remember what this feels like, because this is what it feels like to be in faith. This is what it feels like to be in faith. He said, next time your back's against the wall, remember what this feels like. And he said, and remember, he says, you felt like this because a man promised you something. Yeah, because a man promised you something, and he never did anything, but look what I did. It's not a man, it's a plan. It's a plan. We opened our heart to receive because we believed something, and God made a way for it to happen. Now, we had an opportunity sometime later. This man got in contact with us again, and he was like, I'd like you to come to my country and minister around and even just have a vacation. And so he planned something, and we went and we visited him in his office. And we wanted to tell him what happened, you know. And at first we're like, we want to tell you how, you know, you're not doing anything. First of all, why didn't you do anything? You know, we really wanted to do that, but the love of God constrained us. The love of God would not let us give him the what for at all, at all. And we were in his office, and we said, brother, we said, we just got to tell you our testimony, what God did for us. We just got to tell you how much God has blessed us these last couple years, how much God has done for us these last couple years. We just got to tell you, and he's feeling like, I'm sorry, but you know, when I told you I was going to do this, I had another investment that I thought was coming in, and it didn't, so I didn't have the cash flow, and so I couldn't do what I said I was going to do. And here's what the Holy Ghost said. through us to him. We said, well, brother, when the Lord asks you to do something, you know, he's not trying to get something from you. He's trying to get something to you. Look what the Lord did for us without you doing anything. I said, what was he trying to get to you? What was he trying to get to you to get out of your just doing business as business? That you had, well, if this investment comes through, then I'll give. But what if he had come up? What if he had come up in his giving and gave in that place? What could God have blessed him back with? One of the best ways you can tell if you're a control freak is what you do with what's in your wallet.
All right.
With what you do with what's in your wallet. What's in your wallet? Come up. He said everything's easier if you come up. Everything's easier if you come up. Let me see if I can help you with this. I'm trusting the Holy Ghost, obviously, to help me get this across. What did God say that he wants, he prizes above all else, as the Amplified says, a cheerful, prompt to do it giver whose heart is in his giving, right? He's not looking for the gift, he's looking for the giver, right? Well, in John's Gospel, the 4th chapter, when the Lord said, Jesus said, God is spirit, and he's seeking such to worship him. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen? He's looking for true worshipers, the Bible says, not true worship. He's looking for worshipers. He's always looking for your heart and your heart attachment on everything. Try to tie this all up tonight. So he's looking for your heart attachment. When he's saying come up, he's looking for your heart to be attached to what he's attached to. Go with me to Colossians, the 3rd chapter. Colossians chapter 3. So your heart being attached, what he wants with your giving is your heart attachment. You can tell you're attached to your money. You can tell that you're attached to the control of your money. Let me put it that way. Because remember, he's not after the money, he's after the control. Because your heart, where your treasure is, that's where your heart is, right? So one of the ways you can tell if you're wanting to be in control is what you're doing with that money. And then one of the ways you can tell if your heart's attached to it is by how hard it is to give it away. If it's difficult to give away, it's because your heart is attached to it and the control of it. Because what if I give it, then I won't have control of it. If I give it, then I don't have control. Are you with me? Right? But what you need to realize is when you give it, keep your heart attached to it. Keep your heart attached to it when you give. Instead of thinking, well, I have to detach my heart in order to give it. No, keep your heart attached to it. And remember that when you're doing that, now you're coming up with your giving. Now you're doing it his way. Keep your heart attached to it, but let it go from you. Does that make any sense? Sometimes the only way people are attached to their money is when it's theirs and in your control and your heart's attached to it. And then you think, well, I put it in the bucket. Now there's no heart attachment. No, keep your heart with it and put it in the right place. Come up with it. Come up with it. Amen. Because if you keep your heart attached to that when you give it, How many times have you given something and you're like, oh, there it went, right? And you think about it later? Anybody think about it later sometimes? Like, oh, I gave that. I've given some things like that. Not just money. I've given some things away, you know, at different times, and I'm like, oh, I really liked that. My heart was attached to that. And the Lord reminded me, I know. Thank you. Thank you. Which makes me realize sometimes that my heart's not attached to some things. I remember some things I've given over the years. Just to me, very significant things that I gave. And it was like, this is really okay. Somebody had given me a beautiful ring and we were praising God in a service and next to a pastor and his wife. And I looked at her hand and went, oh, it goes there. That's where it goes. I'm like, oh, okay. I had it for a little while and it was really beautiful. And there it goes. Here, you can have this. It's like one of the only first beautiful things I ever had, and there it went. I thought about it years later. I was like, oh, that was a really pretty ring. Yeah, because my heart was attached to it. But it went to him. It did better there than it did in my jewelry box or on my hand. Different times like that, right? Things that you go, oh, I really liked that. Give it. Detach from being down here and get it in motion in that place. Get it in motion in that place. Look what it says here in Colossians. Are you all right? Thank you, Lord. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. Let me read this out of the Passion Translation. Christ's resurrection is your resurrection too. Christ's resurrection is your resurrection too. This is why we are to yearn for all that is above. For that's where Christ sits enthroned at the place of all power, honor, and authority. Yes, feast on all the treasures of the heavenly realm and fill your thoughts with heavenly realities. Everybody say realities. I love the way it puts it here because it says heavenly realities, not just heavenly possibilities. I know all things are possible. But even when we say that, sometimes we give ourselves the out. Well, maybe it's not possible right now. But when you put it back into perspective, it's heavenly realities. What's real in heaven right now? Things aren't just possible in heaven. I said things aren't just possible in heaven. Things are real in heaven.
That's true.
Things are accomplished in heaven. There's no cancer ward in heaven. There's no ICU in heaven. Amen. There's no hospice in heaven. No. There's not one sick person there. When he brought them out of Egypt, there wasn't one feeble among them. Come on. Heavenly realities. Fill your thoughts with heavenly realities and not with the distractions of the natural realm. Last night was all about distractions. Not with the distractions of the natural realm. Your crucifixion with Christ has severed the tie to this life. Your crucifixion with Christ has severed the tie to this life. And now your true life is hidden away in God in Christ. And as Christ himself is seen for who he really is, who you really are will also be revealed, for you are now one with him in glory. You are now one with him in glory. Now. Everything's easier if you come up.
Amen. Yeah.
Everything's easier if you come up. Set your mind, your thoughts on heavenly realities. Yearn for all that is above. Don't settle for the way things are here. Don't say, well, it is what it is. Don't do that. Come up, child of God. Let go of your own control. I speak from experience. There was a movie line one time, movie I liked years ago, and I don't recommend movies, but certain movies, but this one line, this girl was always right. And so her boss sarcastically said to her, "It must be nice being right all the time." And she said, "No, it's just awful." It's just awful being right all the time. It's just awful being in control all the time. It's just awful. Because God wants to do things out of our control. Water into wine, 5,000 people being fed, the net full of fishes. I mean, what can a coin out of a fish's mouth, all the things that you think you can figure out how things are. No, come up. Come up. Let him speak to you. Let him talk to you. Let him have your will. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Amen. Amen. I know Brother Hagin said he didn't like I Surrender All. And it was a different generation, like you said last night, but there's some things we need to surrender. There's some things we need to yield. It's a shame that the Lord said to me, it would have been easier if you had come up, but you wouldn't come. You wouldn't come. Not that I couldn't get you here. You wouldn't come. Well, he was sweet to me. He wasn't mean. He didn't get angry with me because he still gave me the anointing. But he said it would have been easier. Oh, I like easy. I want easy. But it's not easy on your flesh. But it sure is easy. His yoke is easy, and his burden is light. And your crucifixion with Christ has severed the tie to this life, the bondage that it brings, and the depression and the anxiety. Ugh. And the cares of this life, and those things that entered in choked the word and it became unfruitful. Can you let go? Again. You might say, Lord, I've let go a million times. I know, and he knows. But do it again. Do it again. You'll get better at it. You can get better at it. You can do it quicker. You can respond more quickly to him. Amen. You can quit overthinking and just don't hesitate anymore. Just step. When he says something, just do it right away. Just do it right away. Don't wait for something. Just when he says do something, you do it. You don't go, well, I got to wait. I got anxiety, care. Because I would venture to say every person in here has had promptings of the Holy Spirit to do something that was outside of your, what you would have thought. Outside of some another idea, a different way of doing something, or just an approach to an individual, a conversation with another person, or a gift, or something to give, or something that released out of you. And we hedge it back, and we're like, well, I'll wait till they ask for something. I'll wait till I get another witness. I'll wait till something's confirmed. I don't know where we started that. But if you'll step out when he speaks, When he moves, we move. Amen. When he moves, we move. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Come on up, Robin. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Praise the Lord. Why don't we just change our position? Why don't we stand up for just a moment? Hallelujah. Now, you know these services are to get in the flow of the Spirit and stay there until he's done, right? If someone asks you what time this service gets out, you tell them what time it starts. If they say, what time does church get out? You say, it starts at 7 o'clock. And if they ask you again, if they press you, what time does it get out? You go, it starts at 7 o'clock. And if they ask you again, what time does the service get out? You say, it starts at 7 o'clock. What time does the service start, everybody? Amen. What time does it get over? Okay, all right, praise the Lord. We're here to get everything God wants us to have. There are some assignments. There are some assignments in this room. And why don't you go ahead and take your seats? And as we were ministering to the Lord earlier, we're not going to not take advantage of the window of heaven that's been open in this place all night long. How many of you are aware that there's like an open heaven in this place? Something's happening here tonight. And it would be disrespectful if we just took up an offering and went home. So we're here to get everything God wants. And you're in a special place tonight to get something from heaven. And God's about to move by his Spirit, and a wind of the Spirit's going to blow through here. And there's going to be things that are going to be passed out. When Miss Leanne was up here and we were kind of going back and forth and I was playing my trumpet, there was angels that showed up in this place. And these angels are here for an assignment, for assisting with healing, for one. But they're here to also assist in delivering assignments to add to what God has already done for many here tonight, what he's already placed within you. But there's some things that have been needed for you, things that needed to be added unto you for this next season that we're entering into. Hallelujah. Do you sense his presence tonight? How many of you are making room for more tonight? Hallelujah. There was a service we were in. We talked about Billy Brim earlier. And we were in this service. And Annie and I have had to get uncomfortable, as all of us have. We've had to get comfortable being uncomfortable. And we were in this service where the Spirit of God was moving, and Billy had somebody with her. She was a great prayer intercessor. And as we were ministering to the Lord, finally, the pastor of the church and Billy, I can't remember which one said what, but they said, we need to pray and ask God to show us how to have the fire. How to have the fire. How many of you know when John baptized people, it was with water, but Jesus said, John said, but there's one coming that's greater than I, is going to baptize you, not just with water, but he's going to baptize you with the fire of the Holy Ghost. And we need the fire. Amen. And we were in this service. And so we started all praying for God to show us how to have the fire. And I mean, the whole room was just lit up praying in other tongues. I mean, there was probably 1,200 people there, and maybe 300 or 400 ministers were there in this meeting. We're all just praying. We're asking the Lord to show us how to have the fire. And I'm on the platform, and Annie was standing at the end of the vocal line, and I'm sitting up on the platform praying along with everyone else. And the Holy Ghost said on the inside of me, he said, you're the match, and the fire of God is going to come out of your horn. And the Lord said, get up and say, you're the match, and the fire is going to come out of your horn. Get up and say, you're the match, and the fire is going to come out of your horn. Well, I was thinking, I thought, well, what if the fire doesn't come out of my horn? And there was all these ministers there, and I'm thinking, my ministry could be over if fire doesn't come out of my horn? You know, it could be just over for Durant Ministries. And the Holy Ghost said it again. And all of a sudden, Annie turned to me. She's right that close. She goes, did the Lord just tell you something? I said, well, he might have. He might have. And everyone's praying in other tongues. And the Holy Ghost said again, get up and declare. Get up and say, you're the match. The fire of God's going to come out of your horn. And I was just thinking, Lord, please don't make me say that. I mean, and so we're praying in the other tongues. And Annie turns to me one more time. She goes, did the Holy Ghost just tell you something? I said, yeah, he said something. And so I took my horn and I went to the pulpit. And like I said, there's like 1,200 people there. You can keep playing. That's all right. Matter of fact, just a little bit bolder. And so I got up and I said, the Holy Ghost said, I'm the match. And the fire is going to come out of my horn. I set the microphone down and I played two notes. And all I can tell you is it was like a nuclear bomb went off. Bodies were flying off the platform. And it seemed like every man in the house were lit on fire. Like they just started, every man in the building just started running around. And I mean, there was such movement. And I mean, the fire fell on the whole place that night. And at lunch the next day, we're having lunch with Billy Brim there. And she goes, Billy said, Kevin, she goes, that night that you got up and said, last night when you said, you're the match, she goes, you could have said anything out of your mouth that night and it would have happened. Now, I've got an awareness on me right now that same anointing is in this room. There's something that there's some people in this room. You need a lot more than what you've been operating on. I said, is my mic working, Pastor? Is my mic, can you hear me out there? I said, there's some people in here. You need to operate on a lot more than what you've been operating on. And I believe some people here need the fire. And the Lord is stirring up our hearts for the fire. And what these angels are in this room for, now I haven't seen them with my natural eye, but I'm very aware of angels being in this place. And they're holding the description of assignments in this place. I know that we've been into a season where we've done a lot of waiting on things to take place. And we're about to come into this place where we have waited so long. You're going to have to know that when it's time, you got to jump. There's just time you got to jump. I said there's times you just got to jump in. Some of you have been waiting. Some of you have been wondering how, when, why hasn't happened yet. And I really sense, especially today when Miss Leanne was up here, was such a weightiness to the word. And I couldn't get my mind and my heart off of assignments, and specifically for ministers. And I believe God wants us to lay hands on ministers tonight, because there's some additional things that are needed to bring you to that next place, to help you just go all the way in, just to be able to jump in. Let me just say this by the Spirit of God, that it's no mistake that you have a desire to do the things that you are believing you're called to. Things that you have seen, that you have seen about the Rishdegedeta, it has come from him and it's only for you, because the Tzaprostegedemba that's in you is not for Shikiramondonge, it is for you, Prashdegedorobandinenge. And you will have, if you don't Prashde Levatos, you will come into Rishdegedeta and you'll Vrastarodote.
What's on the inside of you has been planted there by the Spirit himself, because he has a plan for the entire world. He has a plan for the harvest, and every piece of the plan that he has planted on the inside of man is for a purpose to be done, not for a purpose to just hold on to and know that God wants to do some things. But that purpose is in you to do, to will and to do, to will and to do. And if you don't step out,
that equipment that's there will go dormant, and you don't want to stand before him and say, I didn't do anything with the talent you gave me. I buried it. Don't bury what he put on the inside of you, but get it out and multiply it and make it work for you.
Ha ha ha. I remember being in a service with a prophet of God, and he was ministering to one of the people, one of the gentlemen that was in the Raymond Singers band at the time, and he was always just not quite at the place where God was advancing him. And this prophet of God came to him, and to this day we can remember words that came to pass for everybody in that in that group at the time. And I specifically remember he got to this one minister who's now not in full-time ministry because he didn't pass his test. But this prophet of God said, you have watched other people pass you by, and you have thought you're being held back and pulled back. He goes, but what the Spirit of God is actually doing is why these other people that have gone past you and been placed into their ministries, while it seems like you're being held back, he said, what God's doing for you is like a slingshot. And you're getting pulled further back into that slingshot. And the longer you obey what God said to do what he's called you to do now, you'll get pulled. It seems like you're getting pulled back, but what he's actually getting ready to do is to launch you. And the further you've been pulled back, it just means you're gonna go that much further. But it required passing a test.
Yeah.
It requires passing a test. And there are some ministers here that you're just a couple adjustments away from the full measure and the maximum potential of the anointings and the callings that God has placed upon you. If there's a scratching on the inside of you, if there's some degree of discontentment, if there's been a frustration on the inside of you, that it just seems like you're that guy that it's like, why has it not come to this point yet? I'm talking to you tonight. And this is your service. Now, everyone here that you're not called to the fivefold ministry, get ready, because this anointing that's here tonight is going to be ministered to you as well. But I first of all, am extending an invitation to specifically ministers. Now, when I say ministers, I'm talking about the fivefold ministries. You're either a prophet, you know you are. And let me say this. If you're called to the fivefold ministry, I'm talking to those that you know you're called, and several other people know you're called to the fivefold ministry, not just you. Everybody understand? And so, you know what? It can get really weird and awkward and feels a little embarrassing when you come up in a ministry time where it seems like you're one of the losers because something hasn't happened for you. I guarantee you, every one of us have felt at different times, Lord, why do you even use us? Am I right? Am I right? I've been on the golf course with Jim. We played golf. I literally heard him say out of his mouth, I don't even know why God even uses me. Man, I wanted to put him in a headlock because I feel like he's one of the most anointed people I know. He's doing things that I know of very few people even cooperating with God. I just want you ministers to know we're going through mental stuff. Are you all, is my mic working? I said, we're all going through stuff. Y'all looking way too holy out there. We're all dealing with this same stuff. It's because there's been some assignments and it's been for a set time.
Yeah.
Some of yours, it's just the combination numbers. It goes back and forth. Two turns to the right, one turns to the left, one turn to the right, and then it opens. Some of you have been at a place where the combinations have gotten closer and closer, and you've been frustrated. It's not been quite the way you thought it would be. But tonight, I believe you're going to begin to see some things. It's no mistake. I got to get this right. There's no mistake. The desire that you have, Pastor Jack, that desire that you have for healings and the miraculous and the other assignments other than pastor, not everybody has that. It is for you. And he's not going to let that go to waste. You just came back from Africa and saw it. The devil is relentless at trying to take people out of their callings and out of their anointings. And us ministers, we got to be the first ones to demonstrate humility. We have to be the first ones, as Annie was saying at the beginning of the service, we're in this kingdom such a time as this to serve. We're all servants. And if we can't humble ourselves, if we can't let humility take its proper place and say, first of all, above everything else, I'm here to serve him. And I'm going to run my race. And I'm going to finish my course. And I'm not going to back off. I'm going to fulfill what my assignment is. If you have any inkling that you know that there's something more than what you're operating in, here's your opportunity, because I sense, and it's been all night, you just come right on down here. As a matter of fact, I want to encourage you to come here and kneel down. I remember all the prayer meetings with Brother Hagin. He'd say, I bow my knees unto the Father of mercies. Talking about fivefold ministers. This is a divine appointment for you tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you lift your hands? Would you just lift your voice as we just enter into this place? And then we're going to minister to everyone. You're not going to be left out. But let's first of all believe God for this window of heaven and these assignments and some solidifying of some things that had needed to be solidified. I believe that God is bringing us to a place now. Some of you have waited. Some of you, it's just been a matter of waiting on the Lord for some doors to be opened up, for some things to come into place, for things to line up, for even some buildings to come together. Things have just not quite been in the time frame that you had believed and desired it for. But make no mistake, and don't be weary in well-doing, for you will reap, because he is faithful, and he will not be mocked. And you won't be mocked if you don't quit. Father, this night, we come to you reverently, humbly. We bow our knee to you. Now, Father, I thank you for the fire. The fire, the fire. Ha ha. And just let it bubble up as the fire gets ministered to you. Ha 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 ha. The fire, the fire, the fire, the fire. Ah, so crevete. The fire. The fire, the fire flowing into your belly, in your innermost being. The fire, God. The fire, fire, fire. Fire of God.